Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Okay, today we're going to be talking to Allie Heights, who is the daughter of Carrie Rosenthal, an artist that I have followed and loved for a really long time. She told me all about her daughter Allie's journey with breast cancer at the age of 30. So we're going to talk in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month for the month of October, all about Allie's journey and the takeaways that she has for people to promote early detection for breast cancer. So we're going to get right into it with Allie. First of all, I mean, I'm like doing this whole interview right next to your mother's artwork, which is like, you know, some of my favorite. So I love that we're having this conversation and that we kind of perfectly ran into each other on the street in Santa Monica to set up this whole conversation and having it come out in October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You have such a powerful story that I want to dive right into and then also talk about the fertility aspect of it, the menopause aspect of it, which we briefly touched on before recording, since you're in the thick of that, it sounds like as well.
Fortunately.
So you're 32 years old. Mm-hmm. Let's go back 2 years when you decided to move to LA and all of this kind of happened.
Yep. D-Day. So I call it. So 2 years ago, I was, you know, freshly 30 years old. I had just come out of a relationship, my COVID relationship, thought it was going to be it. It wasn't. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do something crazy. I was living in Connecticut, working for my mom, of course, who I've worked for the past 6 years now, leading her wholesale department. And I started to visit LA, who a friend of mine was living here. And after like a trip, I was like, I think I could live here. And she was like, you know what? Like, do it. You'll do your wholesale from there. We need to expand to the West Coast anyway. Go for it. And I kind of just packed my bags and just moved across the country pretty quickly. And all my friends were like, you'll be back. And I had lived in New York City for 11 years and Connecticut. And they were like, you're going to be back. So moved here, fell in love with it. I think I had 1.5 friends, quickly made friends with like anybody I could. Like I would go to yoga classes. I would reach out to a friend of a friend, like, what are you doing tonight? And very quickly made my like core girl group who are my ride or dies to this day. And I'm so grateful for them. So I had like this amazing summer being single, going on dates, whatever I wanted to do. And then I was like, okay, let me go home, grab my last couple belongings, go to some of my doctor's appointments because I don't want to have to rush to find all my doctors out here. So I went back to Connecticut Labor Day weekend 2 years ago. I had, you know, dentist appointment, my gynecologist appointment, everything kind of set up. And I go into my gyno, just doing my regular checkup. They had actually told me in May of that year, I had done my BRCA testing because my mom's sister did have breast cancer. And they were like, you could do a mammogram. You don't have to. Just think about doing it within the next couple of years. You can do it early. And I was like, I'll do it eventually. Thanksgiving, Christmas, it'll happen. So I go to my gyno and I had a little lump. And it's kind of crazy because it's exactly where this heart was. It was above my breast. It was on my chest wall. And I remember just being on the phone with my mom sitting at the beach in Santa Monica. And I was kind of going like this, like talking on the phone. Like sometimes I just do that. And I was like, wait a minute, what? And it was this tiny little bump, the size of like a soybean, tiny. And I brought it to my gyno and he gave it a feel and he said, it's a gland. It's nothing to worry about. Like, if you want, we'll do a mammogram just to be safe. And I think I mentioned to him too, I was like, should I start freezing my eggs? Like, I'm 30, I'm single, I'm not in a serious relationship at all. And he was like, no, you can think about that when you're 35. So I'm like, okay, go home. They call me. They're like, can you come in for your mammogram tomorrow? I'm like, sure. Not even thinking about it. I go in for the mammogram and they ended up doing an ultrasound as well right after. And I remember the nurse was like, don't leave. And the doctor came in and he was like, kind of like berating me with questions like, did you move something and accidentally hit yourself in the breast and give yourself like a hematoma, which is like a bruise? Is it possible that you like knocked yourself in any kind of way? And I was like, no, no, no. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, like I would know if I knocked myself in the boob, because I also had I felt like tender breasts at the time. I was having a lot of issues with my own period and I was hormonal and breaking out, and I would feel like so sensitive there. So I would have noticed anything. Anyway, he's like, okay, we're going to biopsy. Still think it's nothing, probably a bruise, but let's biopsy it. And I remember I was flying, that was like a Wednesday, Thursday. I was flying back to LA supposedly that like Monday, Tuesday. My best friend's wedding was that weekend, which I was in town for. And they were like, oh, we can't get you until next week for the biopsy. And they ended up calling me and being like, hey, we can fit you in tomorrow morning. I was like, that's so strange that all of a sudden they didn't have appointments. Now they do. Going for the biopsy, still thought it was absolutely nothing. But then the doctor who came in to do the biopsy, I go, what do you think it could be? And he's like, well, what do you think we're all here for? And I go, what are the chances of it being something like that? And he goes, well, it's kind of a coin toss. And I could see,
wow,
my mom had just water in her eyes, but she's so strong. She was like, okay, let's do this. They let her come in the room during the biopsy because I was so scared. That was like a Wednesday, Thursday. And that Friday morning, I'm sitting at my desk in Westport at the store, and a little ding goes off on my computer. I see it's my chart. I'm like, okay, my results are in. Let's just see I'm good. I pull it right up and it's a bunch of medical gibberish, but it says like invasive ductal carcinoma, but then underneath it said negative. So I jump up in my seat. I go, Mom, I'm good. I'm good. And she runs over to just look at it through her eyes. And she goes, no, wait, wait, wait. And I start screenshotting it and sending it to like clients that are doctors and my general practitioner who, you know, I have on text. And these people start calling me. I'm like, why are you calling me? I just wanted you to say it was nothing. And they were like, no, like one of them's like, they're going to want to take another look. And then finally my general practitioner, she was like, hold on, I'll call you in 5. And I knew it was bad because her husband reads like the mammograms and the biopsies and everything. So I knew she was consulting with him, and I could just hear it in her voice. She was like, it's cancer. And I'm like sitting there, my whole team of girls behind me. And I just remember I like slumped down in my seat and I was like, this isn't real. And my mom, who I refer to as Carrie constantly, it's either Bob or Carrie. She's Carrie in a work setting. I just remember her being like a total like Kris Kardashian and like grabbing the notebook and start writing down fiercely and like next steps. And I kind of like black out, walk out of the store into the parking lot, like sit down on the ground. I hear someone being like, is she okay? Like, I don't remember seeing anything. It just was like sounds.
Right.
Yeah. And so that was the diagnosis. Long story of the diagnosis, but it was very traumatizing. And I just like, it's hard. The diagnosis was almost the hardest part. And then at that point, we didn't know what we were dealing with. I didn't know the stage, didn't know what the treatment plan is. I had no idea if it was something like a stage 4, if it was going to completely take my life, if it was going to take my fertility, what it was going to do. But it was quickly connected to an incredible team of doctors out in Connecticut. The oncologist is like my angel. He came in that next day, Saturday morning, on his day off in jeans and a t-shirt. And just like, it was like completely motivational. We didn't talk any medicine. It was like almost like a therapy appointment. And he even called me the night before, like the day I was diagnosed, and was like, I'm putting you in contact with Alum Fertility right now. You're going to see if you have time to freeze your eggs. You might not have time. Because for some people, they don't want to delay treatment. Like it's very serious. They need to either have surgery or chemo immediately and stop the growth, especially when it's an aggressive tumor, which I did have a pretty aggressive tumor, which is, so the stage is the size, the grade is the aggressiveness. And mine was a stage 1, grade 2. Not terrible, but definitely growing quickly, which makes sense why like 3 months before there was nothing there. And then 3 months later, I felt a lump. It grew in those like literal 3 months. And then we moved into like figuring out what we're dealing with. So that was the waiting game of like 2 weeks. That was the most sickening, crazy time, just not knowing what. And, you know, my mom really was my everything. I was just like, give me all your positive, because she really is. And this is why I'm obsessed with her. She's my best friend. She is everything she stands for. the happiness, the positivity, like she is that person to a T. So every time I heard news, I just looked at her. I looked at her like I couldn't even be apart from her because I just was like feeding off of her energy. And she really just, she got me thinking so positively. And we were just, you know, while we were waiting for to hear what needed to be done. And then luckily a week later, I found out it was HER2 positive. And that was kind of heartbreaking because that means you do need chemo. Because in my head, there was a chance that I wouldn't need chemo and I could just do surgery, radiation. So it was chemo for sure. But I remember the doctor, my surgeon came in because I was with her when I found out. And she was like, it's great news. It's HER2 positive. And I was like, what are you talking about? How is this great news? It's great news because it's so, I don't want to say curable, but the medications that they have, the immunotherapy, the Herceptin that I got, it's incredible at curing HER2 positive breast cancer. So the prognosis became much, much better for me and it turned into a better scenario. So we started, the first thing I did in my treatment was my egg retrieval. And that was like, I was diagnosed on what, Thursday, Friday. I was starting egg retrieval that Monday. I was in the office. And that was also out of luck because my cycle timed up perfectly to being able to start the egg retrieval process that Monday because you have to be in the right part of your cycle, of course. So went right into egg retrieval, did one full round that took 2 weeks. And like 2 days after they pulled the eggs, I had my surgery, my lumpectomy. So yeah, so it was... It was a marathon. It was a sprint. And I did my lumpectomy and that's when they took my lymph nodes. I chose lumpectomy over double mastectomy. At the time, I felt like I couldn't handle double mastectomy, although it was definitely an option on the table. But we felt that doing the surgery, chemo and radiation would be the equivalent. I still think a double mastectomy is in my future, but not today. So I did the lumpectomy and then couple days later, I was able to go into another round of the IVF for freezing the eggs. So one more round there before I started chemo. I just wanted to have like a really safe amount of eggs. God forbid that the chemo would like render me completely infertile in the future. And there is still hope that I won't need to use them. And when I go off all these medications, I will get my period and cycle again naturally, but it's an insurance policy. I did it. To be honest, it was like a vacation from what was actually going on because I was like very focused on something that wasn't cancer. And so I was very happy I did it. And I still am very relieved. Like I don't feel any pressure, you know, to have a baby. Yeah. To have a baby.
There's so much to like talk about in what you've said so far, which is just like, you know, I'm 34 and mammograms, you hear about like something to do when you turn 40, right? So it's not like that's a routine thing that wouldn't instantly, if someone suggested a mammogram before 40, yeah, they'd be like, you know, we have a reason to do this. You also had an aunt, so you had the gene in it.
I didn't have BRCA, which is like, kind of crazy. Like I had a family who member who had it, but I didn't essentially have BRCA.
So you did not have BRCA, but you were still doing it because of the lump, the mammogram.
Yeah. They wanted me to do the mammogram then because they found a lump. But before that, they were like, you should probably do it, you know, early 30s just because of family history. So family history is enough to get a mammogram under the age of 40. It could be your sister, your aunt, paternal, maternal. It does not matter. If you have family history, you can get tested for BRCA and any of the other genetic mutations, and you can start screening early for either breast cancer, ovarian cancer, whatever kind is in your family, you can screen early.
Got it. So that's a good piece of information for people because I feel like the BRCA gene testing is such a big part of it, which is amazing that you can do that. But also, even if you don't have that,
it means almost, if I had been diagnosed with BRCA, maybe I would have been a little bit quicker to do all the testing. Mm-hmm. And then I also would have probably had to do more extensive surgery, but you know, it was negative, but I still got breast cancer at 30 years old. It's like,
it's wild. What an incredible story. And now you're 2 years later, you're
2 years later,
healthy. And what's your status now health-wise?
So yes, cancer-free and testing twice a year, because once a year scares me a lot. Every 6 months, I want to do a full-blown MRI with contrast and mammogram, for now at least. And my next test is coming up October 7th. So I'm very excited to get another all clear. It's a high unlike anything else. But they do have me in a medical menopause. So I'm on two drugs to keep my estrogen completely suppressed, because there was some estrogen, I'm going to say this wrong, I'm not a doctor, but there was some estrogen positive things to my tumor that I had, as well as being HER2 positive. So they were like, we're bottoming out your estrogen. So they put me on Taxol, which I take every day, and Lupron, which is an injection into the muscle every 28 days. And I have to go into like UCLA and right in the bum. And with the two of these things, you don't cycle, you don't get a period. I haven't had a period in 2 years. It is the most wild thing. Like, I don't even think I get like the horn. Like, I'm definitely hormonal. I'm in menopause. I'll cry like that, but I'm not getting the cramping, the cravings of like sweets. It's kind of crazy. So yeah, I'll be in this medical menopause for 5 to 10 years. I can break the medications coming up this March. That'll be the first time that I'm like, can actually go off everything if I wanted to have a baby and then go right back on. Scientifically, it's changing so much. They're doing so much research to say, hey, like being on Taxol for 2 years will reduce your chances so much that you can have a baby and then go back on.
So I want to go back, because I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. The fertility component that comes up in your diagnosis. Was that something that just came up as a pure suggestion from your doctor, or was that something that was even on your mind when receiving that diagnosis?
Was not. Well, like I had asked the gyno when I was in, you know, 2 weeks before, like, hey, do I need to think about this? And he was like, you know, 35, I usually tell people if they're not dating someone by 35, go ahead and freeze your eggs. I don't agree with that at all. I think
that
feels late. And it's just, it for so many reasons, but like one that always sticks out to me is like, God knows what happens in your own life. Like, be prepared. Like,
right.
If I had frozen my eggs at 29, you know, and at that time I would have been able, if I had eggs frozen, I would have just sped up the whole, you know, cancer treatment removal. You know, the tumor would have come out a couple of weeks earlier. Not that that would have made a huge difference, but you know, for people who, you know, end up being like lymph node positive, that makes a big difference, because days, weeks matter. So was not on my mind at all. I didn't even think that chemo could affect fertility. That wasn't like a thought of mine. So when I spoke to my amazing oncologist, Dr. Zelkowitz in Connecticut, he was like, I want you to just talk to, you know, Loom Fertility, Dr. Richland. He's like a close friend. He's on the train back from Vermont. I already told him to call you that afternoon. And he hopped on the phone with me. I think he was like with his kids. And he was like, we'll get you in on Monday. We'll see if you're even cycling and like have time to do it. He's like, but do you want to do it? Do you want to do it? It's going to take like a lot of effort, and you're going to have to do this, this, this. And I was like, of course I'm doing it. What do you mean? Like, I don't have an option here. So yeah, Monday morning, I remember I went into his office and they, you know, do a little test, the ultrasound to see where you are in your cycle. And they were like, we can start tonight with the injection and you can do one round now. And the round went kind of quick for me. So I was able to, you know, get that done, get my surgery done at a really timely manner, because sometimes people wait like weeks, months for their surgery. My surgery was on October 12th. I found out September 23rd. That's how quickly this moved. And that next week, I got like 12 eggs the first time, which is pretty damn good. I have to say that's pretty good. I was like, not enough. I want more. If insurance is paying for it, we're doing it again. And I did it one more time and I got 15. And I remember they were like, you're going to get 4 eggs this time. And I was like, so sad and heartbroken, like all this for 4. But that's, you know, you take what you can get. Like, everyone's different. Every cycle is different. That's why it's important to do it so many times. Like, sometimes you can get 4 eggs, sometimes you can get more. But, and then I woke up from the retrieval and they were like, we got 15. I have, yeah, like 20 something eggs.
Wow.
And they're just on ice. And I hope to God I never need them, because essentially if I can cycle on my own, it doesn't affect the chemo and all the treatment I did doesn't affect my eggs. It affects, let me butcher this medically. It affects the, doesn't affect the uterus. It affects the ovaries.
This whole idea of having to process a cancer diagnosis and also, you know, making all these decisions, wrapping your head around everything, and then also talking about the fertility thing isn't something necessarily that we all think about when we hear about somebody being diagnosed with breast cancer. It feels like that's something that's more recent that people are talking about, making sure that that's something if you're diagnosed younger, that you can be mindful of your fertility. And also it's a lot to process at the same time. So having gone through it yourself, is there any big takeaway that you would say for people in the fertility space that might feel like, wow, this is a lot of different areas to focus on? I'm thinking of my health, thinking of, you know, having cancer, what that means. I'm scared. People often freeze in fear of like, I don't even know what to do. And then you're still able to kind of go through all those motions to have all these eggs on ice and preserve your fertility, which it sounds like you always knew you wanted to have kids. So that was kind of checked off.
I did.
But yeah, the focus on it and actually to get it done, is that something that you credit to your doctors completely?
It was mentioned to me like one time and then they were like, you do with that what you want. And I obviously was like, we're doing it. And then, yeah, it was insane to also like the emotional aspect of going through the like IVF journey. You are being pumped with hormones. I remember one day fully freaking out and I was like, I don't know if it's the hormones or it's because I have cancer or both.
Like, wow.
You're just kind of like out of your mind, but you become this soldier or this, I say I was a horse with blinders on, you know, how in the races, yeah, they're like, they can only see straight ahead. And I would only, I wouldn't think down the line, not a second. I spent 4 or 5 months living day to day. And I have to say, it made me a happier person. And I still try and like live a little bit more day to day, even though I do obviously think in the future now. But I was thinking about today. I wasn't even thinking about like later that afternoon. I was thinking about what I had to do in the next 60 minutes. And then after that, and if I kind of like broke it up like that, not thinking past the day you're in, I was able to say, today I can go to the fertility doctor. I can inject myself with this and I can make it to the end of the day. And then tomorrow I'll worry about tomorrow. And I honestly felt like just taking it moment by moment, day by day, and then eventually week by week, I was able to kind of keep my head up above water because it really does feel like you are drowning.
What a blessing to be able to also have that level of positivity and optimism that it sounds like you really got from your mom and being around your mom, because she 100% kind of exudes that.
We're doing so much also to help other people with breast cancer. We do a lot of stuff, you know, internally. And now we have this amazing, it's our third collab with Aqua, with Bloomingdale's, and it's launching this October. So it's a whole kind of give pink, get more. And it's a full collection that launches in the beginning of October. And we'll do some appearances in New York and actually Century City if you're around.
Oh, wow.
Carrie's, she's going to be there.
Wow.
Wait, she's going to be there. You should come. It's October, weekend of October 19th, 21st. In the morning, and my doctors are coming and they're going to do a panel and just talk about, you know, early detection, because I the message is early detection, and you hear all the time, early detection saves lives. Like, what does that really mean? Of course, yes, when you get diagnosed early, you have a better chance of survival. Not only that, because I was diagnosed so early and or found it myself so early on and pushed my way into the doctor's office, I was able to have a like very minimally invasive surgery. I was able to keep my hair. I was able to eventually have, you know, kids and do the fertility. Like, I have a girlfriend who couldn't do the fertility aspect. It was like boom, 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 boom. You know, you get diagnosed, there's no time to waste. The next week she was in surgery and getting chemo. So wow. I do think it's it's the early diagnosis that really can change the outcome of your prognosis. So that's really the message there.
You know, I want to talk about all the work you guys are doing to promote awareness around early detection through your mom and just like what you guys do together, which is amazing and sounds just so great. When it comes to early detection, since we're in the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it does feel like early detection is something that people are talking so much about now. Making sure you stay on top of your health, prioritize your health, advocate for your health, especially when it comes to women's health. Go in there with your notepad, make sure you get the time and the questions, find a doctor that you feel comfortable with, that hears you, that responds to you, makes you feel seen and important, which is such a huge gift because people oftentimes don't have access to doctors in that space. But I think it's coming out of a time where people didn't pay attention or focus on their health as much. And now we're talking about taking preventative steps to make sure you're going to your doctor's appointments, getting your mammograms, going to your OB, doing all of the things that maybe historically we would have pushed off or said, oh, I'm too busy. I don't have the time right now. I feel fine. It's whatever. So that mentality of that shift is such a great one to prioritize your health and be an advocate for yourself. I'm curious, like if you have three things for people to take away, or maybe it's one or two things to really raise awareness around early detection for every woman, what are the things that you would advise women to keep in mind when it comes to prioritizing their health?
Number one is to just be aware of your body. That is the most important thing. Like, remember, I found my lump on my own sitting at the beach, literally on the phone with my mom. So, and I knew that was something new because I do feel my breasts when I'm in the shower and, you know, I would feel them like, you know, not often, every couple months, I would just, you know, feel around, do the check, you look it up on YouTube. It's the easiest thing. So I knew instantly that that was something that is new and hadn't been there before. And obviously something new like that, that is changing and growing, that's not good. So that's what it initially brought me to my doctor's office. My number two is it would have been so easy to bring it in and let it go. And nobody would have followed up. No one would have even been like, you really have to get them. I pushed my way to the mammogram, to the biopsy, to everything. Like I pushed my way through. That's what it felt like. It wasn't like they open the door and you just, you know, go. Like you are like, no, I need the appointment. And like, they would have been like, because when they felt it, they were like, you can do a mammogram if you want. You don't have to. You can also do it like in a couple of months, like no big deal. It's like nothing. So I really, really, really had to advocate for myself to get the proper testing and then do the fertility and the cold cap. Like they're not going to be like, let's help you freeze your hair. They don't care about your hair. They want you to survive. Like I was like, no, we're doing this like insane cold cap thing where we're freezing my entire head and we're freezing my hands. And there was like a million things that I had to kind of do to essentially advocate for myself and get the drugs I needed even during chemo. So that's a really big part. And then I think three would be, I never paid attention to this. I was in my 20s before. I was having fun. But I don't think I treated my body as good as I should have in my 20s. And I think I'm definitely paying for that a little bit now. I mean, now I eat so healthy, as many fruits and veggies as I can. I'm not vegan in any way. But there's so many things that you can do to improve your health. I mean, a lot of doctors are like, vegan, da, da, da. I can't do that. I can't do that. It's not, I can't even go there. But I exercise really regularly and that could be walking. You know, you can't get to a gym. You can't get to a class. Walk. Stretching, I think, is really important. And just being cognizant of like what you're putting in your body and what you're putting on your body. And this is like a whole nother like can of worms, which we're not even going to like tap into. But like I have a very clean house. I had to change all my products. I mean, I only use glass. There's no plastic here. My shampoos, my soaps, everything is extremely gentle, natural, organic products. And of course, there's things like you're not going to be able to control, like you have to take medicine. You're not feeling well. Like you're at an airport and there's no organic, beautiful food around. But I think it's a balance and people kind of need to learn to kind of take care of themselves more because this can happen at 30 years old. And it could have been so much worse, and it could have been anything. Like, I got so lucky. I really did.
I love the three tips of knowing your body, advocating for yourself, and treating your body well and being mindful of what you put inside your body and on your body. I think those are great takeaways for people to be able to be mindful of and implement in their lives. We have so much work to be done in women's health. My mom talks about it all the time, and I'm so grateful. She's so aggressive and fiery about women's health, such an advocate and doing such great work. It's important to always repeat that the importance of knowing your body, feeling like you can advocate for yourself, pushing until you feel seen and heard. And that's definitely a generational difference, because our moms didn't have that gift of being able to do that when they were our age. So
great.
It's wild.
100%.
And also, it's important for people to know that you guys, people who want to be able to shop for good in the month of October and also support the initiatives that you guys have going on, is that people should go on your mom's website, or where do you direct people?
So you can shop with us directly at carrierosenthal.com, and we have a breast cancer page 365 days a year with things like our It's Just a Blip Block of Love, which is a painting she painted for me during my treatment. And it just kind of was like what the doctors kept telling me, this is just a blip, this is just a blip. And it really was. So we always have that stuff on our site year round. But for the month of October, we're doing our third partnership with Bloomingdale's Aqua. So that's going to be available at bloomingdales.com and at their locations. So we're doing a meet and greet Saturday, October 5th at 59th Street in New York City. And then it's the 19th, 20th, we're doing a meet and greet at the Century City Bloomingdale's. And we're going to have doctors and other thrivers. The New York City one is having a group of like 5 to 10 of my, I call them breasties, girls my age. Mm-hmm. And young moms who have just gone through this in the past couple of years. So it's really about education and talking about people's experiences. We're going to do a little fashion show, and the collection is really, really, really cute.
So it's going to be a full clothing collection.
So good. Full clothing collection. There are like long dresses. I'm like wearing one as a wedding guest coming soon to my friend's wedding.
Wow.
And sweaters and hoodies and cozy things for people going through treatment. So we've always done kind of like cozies, sweaters, pajamas. We love that, like very geared towards people in treatment. But this time we wanted to make things that would make people feel like women and beautiful. So we have like gorgeous skirts, beautiful printed dresses, little jackets, like ways to kind of like dress yourself up and feel really good. So this is a special one. We really love this
one. Wow. That's so amazing. Yeah. I'm so excited to see everything. And thank I know you. People are eager to be able to support everything that you guys do. So that's awesome. We'll make sure to share all of that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Thank you so much to Allie for taking the time and chatting with us about her amazing journey, and her positivity and optimism is so amazing and so wonderful to hear about. I love her three takeaways, which are super important for listeners and for women, of knowing your body, advocating for yourself, and treating your body well. I think that's such great wisdom to be sharing, and especially in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I'm so grateful that also Allie's in great health, which is amazing. So thank you, Allie.